Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, I just saw Ford versus Ferrari, one of the most exciting films of the year. So we're going to talk all about what I just saw. And Jeff Dunham swinging by first. Tommy John. A lot of underwear brands out there that claim big comfort. But why are 75% of men and women dissatisfied with their underwear? Well, they haven't tried Tommy John. That's why. Over 7 million pairs sold. 96% of the customer ratings give them 4 stars or more. I'm wearing them now. They are the best. Legs never ride up. Waistbands never roll down. Horizontal, quick draw, fly, saves men tons in the fumbling department every year. And after 2 years of obsessing over every detail, Tommy John is introducing the most comfortable bra on the planet. So ladies, rejoice. Tommy John is working for you. It's available in 1,200 retail locations, including Nordstrom stores nationwide. Tommy John, the best. No adjustment needed, right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam now to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Support for the Adam Carolla Podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Imagine how it feels to have an award-winning team by your side through every step of the mortgage process. That's exactly what you get with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage does more to help you understand the home buying process so you can get exactly what you need. They've helped millions of Americans achieve their dream of home ownership. When you're ready to purchase your home, and the home of your dreams, they can help you as well. J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 6 years in a row. When you work with them, you get more than just a loan, because Rocket Mortgage is more than just a lender. Right, Dawson?
Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jeff Dunham. With Gina Gratt on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, earlier today, he saw Ford versus Ferrari, and his dad saw VW Squareback versus Honda CRV. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on your mandate. You get it on now. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that you share. Just saw the ratings went up. So thank you very much. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Hey now.
Yeah. All right. Just walked out of the Ford V Ferrari. Where's my print? I got a ton of papers in here, Max Pat. I don't know. Where's my Ford V Ferrari IMDb page? And is it amongst the piles of papers that I have in here?
He's running it in.
Okay. All right. The reason I call before I come in, usually.
It will be amongst the piles of papers.
Yes. All right, but that's why I hang up the phone and then I call Chris and I go, hey, man, I'm going to be there in half an hour. I need, and then I tell him what I need.
You'll have it eventually.
I assume it's in front of me. What's up there, Max Banner?
Sorry.
Okay. All right.
You suck.
I just saw the movie.
So up to snuff, you feel good? Was it eh?
Yeah, I loved it. Couple thoughts. It's the Ken Miles story, but the movie's about Ken Miles, but the whole thing is really the Carroll Shelby story. It's Shelby, what he was able to do, all the suits at Ford, and all that. Matt Damon was great, and you know, Christian Bale's always, he's just Christian Bale. He has an advantage over other actors. His accent, the way he moves his face, just so striking. John Barenthal was great as Lee Iacocca, yeah, who just passed away. Josh Lucas was great as Leo Beebe, who was sort of one of the guys in charge of Ford. There were a couple guys. Tracy Letts, who played Henry Ford II, that guy, I think, is going to get a Best Supporting nod.
Wow.
He was excellent as Henry Ford II. Like, wow. He had a lot of range. And then, of course, I saw my buddy Chris Darga as John Holman of Holman and Moody, who was like another team. It's always weird to see some guy I used to do carpentry with 30 years ago popping up. And I was trying to figure out where Tracy Letts, where we knew he's a 60-year-old guy. He's had to have bounced around. He's playing Henry Ford II, a huge movie. Gotta know the guy from something.
He was in The Big Short, and he was in The Post.
Well,
I don't really remember him.
You'd
know
him best from Lady Bird.
He's opposing. Oh, the movie. Oh, I thought it was Lady Birds. Or wait a minute, Lady Bugs.
Oh,
that was a soccer movie. Lady Bird. Yeah,
he was in Straight Talk.
What? Wait, now we're talking.
With Dolly Parton.
Well, who was he in Straight Talk? I've seen the movie 1,000 times.
It was Sean.
He was my most favorite and least favorite part of every 80s, 90s movie where the janitor was starting their first day on the job, and then the program director grabbed them and went, you're late! You've got a syndicated audience waiting for you! But
you don't understand!
And then they push him in, and he gets behind the microphone, but somehow his homespun, down to earth,
folksy
sense takes over the nation. Mm-hmm. Whenever they then have the montage of people listening.
Or the phone ringing off the hook. You love the show?
Right.
You can't get it up?
Well, that's part of the same montage.
Yeah.
And then there's like black guy shucking and jiving down the street. He's listening to two people sitting at a bus stop.
Both
tuned in.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I do syndicated radio for 10 years. My dad doesn't know what the call letters are for the station he lives in. Forget about phones ringing off the hook and people walking down the street. Yeah, they have that montage where it just blows up. And then at some point, there's a billboard on the bus.
She sees it. Yeah, she sees it.
And then she says, get off the cross, honey. Somebody needs the wood.
Anyway, Ford v. Ferrari is great. I really enjoyed it. And it's Christian Bale and Matt Damon the entire time. They're both going to get probably Oscar nods,
now,
I would think.
Accuracy, even down to the minute details, because you would know the minute details.
Well, it is weird when they're talking about Leo Beebe and stuff like that. And you make a doc, those guys, I can hear Shelby being interviewed going, well, Leo Beebe said we better win on Friday, you know, and like that's the guy's running head of sales or something for Ford. There's always tons of material you have to get past that you never include. There's also a weird thing, which is in the documentary we made called The 24-Hour War, Ford versus Ferrari, One of the guys we interviewed was Charlie Acapu, who was Ken Miles' basic. Charlie Acapu must be New Zealand. I don't know if he was from New Zealand, Australian. He was Ken's kind of right-hand man. Young kid who was there, you know, getting him in and out of the car, cleaning the windshield, you know, just his looked up to Ken. Ken was not a young guy. Everyone, you know, Ken was like 45. Mm. Everyone else was 21. So Charlie Acapu was there. Charlie Acapu, you know, when we interviewed him for Ford v. Ferrari, when he was talking about Ken Miles dying during testing, he was tearing up, obviously. It was very emotional. But I was sitting directly behind Charlie Acapu in the movie theater, seeing the 19-year-old version of him at, like, Le Mans, like, pushing people and getting the fuel lines and going, get out of here, Ken! You know, and, like, it's a crazy seeing the guy portrayed in the 60s. I mean, obviously, he's not an old man now. So if you're in Le Mans, the mid-late 60s, you're kids.
Late teens.
Kids used to do stuff, everybody. I got news for the 33-year-old kids that are walking around right now. 19-year-old, they were tank commanders and stuff.
They won races.
They did dangerous shit. Yeah. Like, they went to work. So it was a very interesting story. And the whole part they painted about, I mean, this stuff's all in the news, but Ferrari being who he was and sort of Ken Miles not being a corporate guy and Ford really not wanting him, because there was a lot of optics and a lot of, they wanted to sell cars. Like, that's all Ford wanted to do. But anyway, it's really well shot. Mangold knows what he's doing when it comes to filming. So all the shots were amazing. And then, you know, there's the whole part. The part that put me off a little is that his wife and kids were into what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
It bumped me.
It bumped you.
Suspension of disbelief, dude.
They were cheering him
on. You
got
to allow the movie's premise.
It's fiction sometimes.
It was also neat for me because, obviously when they start talking about all these, you know, that's Dan Gurney and Bondurant and blah, blah, blah. Those are all guys of... interviewed guys I've sat down with and talked to at length, and then there were guys like
did you know who played Dan Gurney, by the way?
Oh, his son
Alex,
right?
Gurney.
Wow.
Yeah. Then there were guys like Phil Remington, who were like all over it, who was like super magician mechanic. And he, you know, I remember going to Dan Gurney's shop and he's like, that's Phil's workbench, that's where Phil had recently passed, but that's, he was still working when he was 90. It was like all these people that between doing the Ford versus Ferrari doc 24-hour war and then doing the Shelby doc, it's all one big galaxy of all the same people. And then you really pile on because they're down at Willow Springs and Bondurant's driving a Corvette. It's like, I drove a Corvette at Willow Springs, and they're going around Willow Springs and I'm looking at every corner with Christian Bale driving, but I'm seeing, I drove 100 laps on that track in a sanctioned Trans Am race. So I'm like watching the race and
this had to be hard for you to sit back and just watch this movie.
It was a little too distracting, like seeing all these people in all these places. But Willow Springs hasn't changed at all. It's just a track in the middle of the desert. But anyway, he goes out in his Cobra and wins this Willow Springs race. But they're literally going around every corner as I'm seeing it in my mind's eye from driving around so many laps at that place. Yeah, Josh Lucas was good. But
I love Josh Lucas.
He's good.
He's one of those character actors you absolutely 100% know. Put up a picture of him. You would know him best from maybe from Beautiful Mind, as the rival student.
Oh.
He's been in 100 movies in the last decade.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very recognizable character actor, and he's really, really good.
Yeah, and he was kind of a wiener in this, which you don't see him.
He can be smarmy, like in A Beautiful Mind. You know, it's kind of like adversarial. He's great.
Yeah, he was great. So anyway, and it's all about the relationships and everything else. But very, very, very well done. Very good. So look forward to that. And I just saw the first commercial for it playing on the NFL Sunday. So nice. It's now officially on.
Aren't you doing a Q&A? When is that? That wasn't today, right?
No, I'm going to sit down with Christian Bale and Matt Damon in about 5 weeks or something like that.
He meant we.
And do
the Adam Carolla Show.
Right.
And sit down. Well, I'm so glad I love this movie because otherwise it kind of sucks.
Do a little tiptoeing otherwise.
Yeah, and we know so much about it. And then also we got to figure out it's insane because now we have this Shelby doc. And you have Matt Damon, who's just Shelby on top of Shelby with more Shelby. I mean, it's all about Carroll Shelby. And if you watch this movie, you'll go, I would love to know more about that dude. Because it's an insane life that guy had.
This will be a big hit, I'm sure.
Yes.
There'll be a halo effect with, your documentary and other associated things.
Let's hope, although nothing ever works out.
How was the female lead, his wife? Because I'm looking at her IMDb, and she only has 14 credits. A lot of them are shorts.
Like, is she a model?
She's a relative unknown. She's a TV actress.
What's her name?
Catriona Balfi?
Yeah.
I honestly have never heard of her. I'm wondering if she... I admire a film of this scale casting a relative unknown, or at least a lesser-known actor in such a prominent role.
Yeah, well, again, it bumped me once again when Ken Miles was working a late-night shift wrenching at Shelby America, and she came down with a picnic basket. And
when she showed interest.
Handed him a cold beer.
I'll get
I was
out of
like,
your hair.
Get the fuck out of here. No way. Give me a break. I believe
fake.
Yes.
Boo.
Yeah, I've seen movies with dragons in them that I buy into more than this charade.
And the doting wife who lets him wrench on his car.
And then comes down and brings him a basket of food.
I sensed you were hungry.
She was very believable, very good.
I think she's in Super 8, but I don't remember.
Pretty low-key, but a very big part. Of course, you have to get the kid and the wife in. Now, the story, I don't want to say the star, but the cars are the stars of the film. I like that.
Well, the kids from a quiet place.
My greatest role? Father. Rich Whitey, who ignores his kids.
Sorry, just FYI, I think my instincts were right, because that's what comes up when you Google her, and it's clearly like Fashion Week and she's walking.
I will say this.
Meow.
Sorry, I will say
this.
I don't know what picture, I don't know what year that's from, but it looks like she's 22 there. In the movie, she's playing 30, 39 or 37. But here's the thing about the hot chicks. You can go down, you just can't go up. You know what I'm saying? Like when a chick is a nine, Charlize Theron, we can knock her down to a 4.5. We can do whatever.
Margot Robbie can play Tonya Harding.
Yeah, we can knock anyone down. We just can't punch you up, Jen.
No?
I mean, whoever.
Yeah,
we just can't. All the king's horses and all. We can't knock you up. We can go down.
The ceiling.
Yeah.
Right. So you can't, like, there's a, I don't know. Tori Spellings. All right, she's attractive, I guess, or something, and I'm not my cup of tea, but let's just say she's a 7 or something after some work. We can't bump her to a 9. We can get her down. We can get all the Margot Robbies down way lower than that. We just can't go up.
Yeah, you're right.
Sad,
it's
right?
It's tough reality.
It's tough. So she was, I'm sure, a model, but now they cut your hair short, and you add 10 years, and you
Eileen Warnock.
And you're fine, right. So... the real story is the story that they're pushing is really the son and the relationship that Ken Miles has with his young boy. That's kind of the story.
And so the trailer opens.
Which is crazy because Ken Miles' young boy is 6'3" and he's probably 61 or something. And
I'm in the movie. I'm like, that's a real bump.
Pituitary problem.
Yeah, and he is a dude, and he works on cars, and he's when I was at Laguna Seca 6 weeks ago, he's working on the cars at the tent right next to ours. Nice guy, looks like him, just working on. I told you, we went there with Max Zapata a year and a half ago. We went and saw Chip Connor's collection with GTOs and 935s and stuff like that. He's his mechanic. He's at the track. He's working on the 935s. So in those stories, when they say to Ken Miles, because, sorry, Peter Miles, the son, there is a thing that I find that when I say to someone, I do podcasting, they go, well, good for you. And if you go, I do stand up, they go, that's nice. And then I go, I write books and I make documentaries. And they go, fantastic. And then if I go, but I also race vintage cars, they go, is your dad in the cars?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, no. But so your dad,
someone
you should, but he took you to the track, right? Like some, he, what was he, a rancher himself? Like he had cars.
Step and dad, I go, uncle?
Nope. They never go, your dad's an author. They never know your dad's a documentarian, or even your dad's like a school teacher or filmmaker or something. Or your dad, was he a sense? Did he have a sense of humor? There's no secondary dad questions. But if you say anything with cars, you say you collect cars, you say you race cars, you drive cars, you have cars, you wrench on cars, you're like, who got you into that? Your dad. And they just...
Guilty.
Yeah, and now it doesn't, it kind of works that way with building. People assume your dad was a builder. Yeah. If you build, and if you wrench, oh, your dad used to hand him tools and wrenches in the garage while he was under the car and all that stuff. Doesn't work. I don't think attorneys or architects or school teachers, and there's something about cars where there is a straight line.
Yeah.
And there we were at Laguna Seca 6 weeks ago, Peter Miles, 30 feet away from Adam Carolla. No starker contrast in dad car involvement than that. And at least I know I'm there for the right reasons,
you
Peter.
You earned it. It's pure.
No pedigree.
Because his dad had a shop. Yeah. His dad was a wrencher.
Peter Miles had no choice.
He had no choice. And I think he obviously grew to... he loved it as a kid. I think all kids, all young boys... except for Sonny Carolla, all young boys at age 9 through 13 would love cars. They don't get exposed to it. They don't have money. They live in apartments. They live in blah, blah, blah. And that's just the I don't know.
That's a waste of my time?
The ship sails or something like that. I don't know. It doesn't seem to work that way with accounting or many other jobs, you know, sales.
What percentage of guys who are really into cars do you think were at least influenced by their dad's love of cars? I'd have to imagine it's well over 50%.
I don't want to say every because I hate that, but very often at the track, guys come around the pits. Max Paddle, back me up. They come with their dads a lot of the time. Like they're 75-year-old dads. You know, they bring their dads. Or they're 75 and they explain, my dad worked for Hal Needham back in 1969. And he worked for Joey Chitwood's stunt team. And he used to bring me. Yeah, they all have a story and they all dig out old pictures of the, you know, the dad and the black and white. And then they send them to you and they bring them by the pit and everything. Yeah, it is sad. So, there is that, and yes, Peter, the story is very much about the son and very much about Christian Bale and his son, who is played by Noah.
Oh, the kid from A Quiet Place.
Oh.
He was really good.
He didn't say much, but he was good.
Mm-hmm. Noah Jupe, yeah, he's great. And that's the human story, is him and his son, and his son was there when he died and all, you know, crazy, everything else. But so that's a really good story, and it is great that Peter Miles is, as we speak, working on a car. I don't know what. How old is he, in his early 60s?
Yeah, I actually is not on the internet. I emailed one of Chip's guys to see if he can get some more intel on this.
Yeah, tall, angular, looks like Ken Miles, works on cars.
We should repackage, rebrand the doc as Ford v Ferrari prep kit for the movie.
Yeah.
Well, I don't
know.
What
you really need.
Somebody tell me, but I'm watching NFL Sunday and I'm seeing commercials now, and that's 2 months out, and that means it's on.
It's on.
And they're starting early, too. I mean, running NFL spots 2 months out. They're going to be going for some Oscar this and Oscar that. So, with all that in mind, as the guys who own the Shelby Dock, it'd be nice if we could figure something out I don't know how.
You probably would have thought of this, but I always notice whenever I noticed it for the first time, maybe really distinctly, when the Da Vinci Code came out. That was a huge, huge movie. It was based on a huge rollout, right? It was based on the book, Tom Hanks, Ron Howard, blah, blah, blah. Everything, every fucking fifth show on my guide on DirecTV was like the something, the Bible code, the something right, code, right. The Egyptian code, the pyramids code. They were all just trying to get that little bit of interest. Like, there's got to be a broadcast network that'd be interested in the 24-hour war, right, with the Ford versus Ferrari?
I don't know. It's been a tough slog in the doc department, and I don't know who wouldn't be into that, but I will say this. The things that make sense to you do not necessarily make sense to the folks at the History Channel or Netflix or whoever else. I'm always like, whenever I hear it, it's like, they passed. It's like, why would they pass? But there's going to be a $50 million campaign on a movie that everyone's going to want to see the real version of as soon as they see the movie. That's the way you do it. You go see these movies, and then you want to find out what the real story was. Where'd the pass part come in? Like, But it happens a lot. Peter is 67 years of age, and he was 14 when Ken died, 1966. Anyway, very good movie, very well done. And
what's the runtime, and did you think the runtime was appropriate? Too short, too long, just right?
It was, I checked, it started pretty much dead nuts at 10:30, 10:35, pretty much right when my Fanny hit the seat, and it finished right at 1 o'clock. So it
2.5 hours.
It's there, but there's a lot of ground to cover, and
24-hour race in real time.
And it's good. I didn't find myself, but then again, I kept wondering. It's like, is it because I know everybody in this and I know all the story? And there's still a couple little bits and pieces that I wasn't aware of or didn't know. But it's a lot. Also, much like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Venice, California, L.A. in the 60s, you can't go wrong. Just all the buildings and the markets and the dress and the music coming out of the cars lifestyle. And the lifestyle and just the whole vibe, even Ford in the 60s. Like, you know, everyone's smoking, sitting around big mahogany tables and stuff. All right. So I will tell you about some other things in a second. On another movie front, the uppity, the Willie T. Ribs and John Singleton. I have some thoughts and some info on that. First, I'll tell you about the Zorro, Zorro.com. Find everything for business of any size and almost any industry. Tools and equipment, safety, office, cleaning supplies, cleanser. I need cleanser, Matt. And more than that, tons of stuff. Electrical stuff, plumbing stuff, contracting stuff, manufacturing, tools, everything you need when you're running a business, from the stuff that keeps it up and running to the stuff that fixes it. Brands you know and trust, like Stanley and 3M and Milwaukee and Rubbermaid and all the big ones, all there. Amazing customer service from real people based in the U.S. Fast, free shipping on orders of $50 and more. Visit Zorro.com/Adam. Sign up for the Zmail. Get 15% off your first order. They have everything, even if it's just for your garage, even if you don't have a business. That's Zorro.com/Adam. All right.
Uppity gossip.
Yeah, I got on a phone call with Brian Koppelman of Billions and his partner today, because we're in this weird world where they want to bring Uppity to Showtime. They have a big deal. They want it to be their next project, blah, blah, blah. Sweet. We're profoundly flattered. And then, of course,
they asked you to go pitch. You said, no way.
I don't pitch anymore.
Well, they got the doc and they got them, so they don't David Levin or Levine, I think, is his writing partner. Anyway, they're great writers. And so we're off to the races, and John Singleton dies.
Yeah.
And I'm having meetings with John Singleton. I'm flying Willie T out to meet with John Singleton. You know, this is how life and this business works. Like, one minute you're getting pictures of John Singleton having a beer with Willie T with thumbs up. And the next thing is like, did you hear? John Singleton's dead, you know? So everything gets put on. It's like a sucker punch to those guys because they were very friendly with John Singleton. I met him once. He was a great guy, but I didn't have a relationship with him. So everything gets kind of put on the back burner. And today we just got on the phone to kind of discuss what, you know, what the next move was. And, you know, we need to find the African-American writer to take this story and shepherd it. And the good news is, you know, Chris Morgan gave me a list. He's like, here's a list of five black writers that I think would be perfect for this. They all have five projects going simultaneously because
they're
contrary
good.
To popular belief, we always think like, oh, the minorities are getting pushed out. Oh, no, no, no. This is Hollywood. We're like, we're not making films in Alabama in 1967. It's 2000 and almost 20. We're in Hollywood. People are woke as shit, and all they're looking for is diversity. That's all. And by the way, the Netflix, you know, the new players are the wokest of the woke. So if you're good or probably even just decent, you are, and you're black, you are busy in this town, and you have many projects. So now we have to figure out somebody who is not who fills all the criteria but doesn't have five projects on the table. And you're in demand. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
But this project is not stalled out. This project is back up and running.
No, it's back. It's not stalled out. We just have to
it's coasting.
We have to find the right person with the right voice to convey Willie's voice is what's going on. But I'll keep you guys posted. I'm just telling you what I know. But my God, people, if you do not think this is a marathon and not a sprint, I mean, I don't know why. I'm not the you know, I hate the guys that say like second place is first loser. Like I hate those guys. I hate the, you know, you're either moving forward or you're moving back. I'm like, sometimes you're just kind of treading water. I've had a few weeks where I just kind of stayed where I was.
Just float.
I didn't lose weight. I didn't gain weight. I didn't get any smarter. I didn't get any dumber. I didn't make a bunch of money. I didn't lose a bunch. I've had a lot of in the middle. But I'm telling you, I keep saying to everyone, it is a marathon. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Mm-hmm. And if you need instant gratification, you can't find it in this business. Right. I mean, we started making this thing 3 years ago, maybe more. We've been done for like 2 years. It's still just sitting somewhere. I've already paid for everything, God damn it.
And within that marathon, there's moments where it's like, oh, this has to be done today. This has to be done by the end of the day. This has to be done in the next hour. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like wait.
Guess
hurry up.
What?
Right.
You have time.
Yes.
Can I just say real quick on that? No, I'm dipping my toe into this world. You know, we're making the documentary about this whole process, the fundraiser, the 10-year anniversary.
If that shit gets sold. And it gets put up on Showtime before Uppity does. You do not bother walking through that door.
We got a black writer, so I feel like we're
what?
Pretty.
Damn it!
But it's even though we have the deadline, or at least not the deadline, the marker of the event, right? November 2nd,
right.
Like that's going to be the event. We got to document that, blah, blah, blah. We have so much more to do after that. Like there's going to be another year of like just putting the documentary together. It's crazy. Like to your point, if it's a marathon.
And the key to the marathon is see if you can run six of them simultaneously, because that's the whole plan.
No,
there's 20.
Ultraman.
You have to have a bunch of stuff going on all the time, and it all just takes a long time, and none of it feels like show business or Hollywood. None of it feels like a red carpet and flashbulbs. It's all just meetings and conference calls and
that's
traffic.
That's the last 30 seconds on the clock of this experience.
Right. All right. We have, I know how much, the fans seem to love distracted Drew in New York with looking at getting pop-ups on his computer or just drifting off, reading a racing form. You know, he's smoking a cigar and reading a racing form. And as far
in his club chair.
Monday's show, there's a bit that, the Drew drops were from Wednesday. Okay. But there was something from Monday's show that I did not share with you.
Oh, well, then,
by all means.
Yeah. It's a little more interesting, but here it is. the politicians have figured this one out, and they've realized this is a large group. I mean, this may be a group larger than the group that's on the farm. You've got to be kidding me.
Fire alarm went off.
Why is it going off?
I don't know. Susan, did you do this?
I don't know.
Or is it somewhere else and never happened before?
Is it back home?
Saying, it must it go be. Any other way?
No. You hitting the spleef? The spleef.
Well, I'm just wondering if it's something.
I'm sorry.
She's cooking steaks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Okay. My wife did it.
How does she do
fire.
It?
Fire.
By cooking. It's a small apartment we're in, mm-hmm. and she cooks something, and there's very little smoke. Okay, it's off now.
What's she making?
She's making steak for me.
Oh, man.
She's grilling a steak for me, man. That's it.
It's a real fourth of story moment.
He's like, I'm going to eat the steak during show three.
Drew, how does that sound? Delicious.
Succulent.
No, yeah. He's probably like, listen, these young savory kids with all their searing
barely
juice
tenderized.
Glances.
Juicy marbling.
Somebody needs to pound some A1. First off, A1, right off the top, someone needs to pound some tenderize these young meaty juveniles.
Anyway, dry rub, line three.
McCormick.
Jesus Christ. I should dock Drew for that whole week, right? I just got to go, hey, man, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to, even if it's just symbolic, like open your wallet, give me $100.
You should suspend him. Fire, but suspend. You know, just give someone to think about.
No, because if
he's
spaz
coming in
comes
in. He's coming in like in an hour and a half or
something. That'll be quite a rude awakening when he gets here.
And if, tell him to turn around.
If Dr. Spaz comes in, it's not going to make Adam any happier.
That's true.
He's not going to be any more convenienced.
This old lady's grilling up steaks.
She's trying.
He's checking his online stocks. Jesus goddamn Christ.
Good life.
All right. So that was, that was show number one. And then I think show number three were the drops. All right. We'll try to.
And show five.
Show five as well. Yeah. That's right.
If he wasn't such an earnest person, I would absolutely know in my heart he was fucking with you.
I do know. I often wonder.
Right.
Yes, Drew. Drew, you were a good student.
Yeah.
How does that work? You don't seem to be able to follow instructions or listen to people.
Well, sometimes I do. I'll tell you what.
I know, but not when I'm telling you to do stuff. You don't follow instructions.
Crazy.
Yeah. I'd say it's a little more than crazy. I'd say it's a bit of a problem. I mean, you call yourself a broadcaster.
Mm.
Yeah, that's it. That's just a grunt. That's it. Okay. This is what I'm talking about. I'm trying to have a conversation here about your inability to broadcast. I can barely have a conversation with you. It's like you're distracted.
Right.
No, I said you were distracted.
Right.
No, this is not a compliment. It's not for you to agree with. I'm saying you sound like you're going through the show in a distracted manner.
Right.
It's passive aggressive. Dr. Drew.
I don't know. Elliot Gould and Dr. Drew together.
Oh.
I just feel like Gina. All right, I'm gonna set the table here. You ready, Brian and Gina?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm gonna call this the making of an eating disorder. Okay.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Drew and Elliot Gould are your gay adopted parents.
Sure. Yeah.
You are the young 12-year-old. Now, remember, you were put up for adoption.
Yeah.
So God knows what kind of trauma you've seen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Dealing with some rejection anyway.
Yeah.
That's just the beginning.
I would say you're a 13-year-old girl.
Okay.
And you have two pieces of news to break. Now, I'm going to do a casserole read here, but a challenge. But you have two pieces of news to break.
Mm-hmm.
To your adopted gay parents, Dr. Drew and Elliot Gould.
Mm-hmm.
One is you just made the sophomore volleyball team at school.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is you've started your period. All right, okay. Now I'm going to let you, whatever that means to you.
Great, sure.
And I'll tell you about Castrol Edge first. Tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with the hashtag Castrol Challenge with your question for Castrol Challenge and Castrol Edge, brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology. You got the question, Max Pata?
I do. J.R. Huff on Twitter wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge, in your opinion, what is the greatest innovation in the last 70 years in automotive history? Seatbelts, fuel injection, anti-lock brakes. What do you think?
I'm going to say, well, the craziest one is the airbag. Like, I remember the first time when they were like experimenting with airbags, and I'm like, so you just got to tape a giant yoga ball to your your steering wheel? It's like, no, it deploys.
It explodes.
It's like, where's it come from? The middle of your steering wheel. And I was like, I've seen steering wheels. It's just plastic. Like, it's a hard plastic thing. It's like, no, there's a bag in there. And I'm like, yeah, but when my front bumper hits the rear bumper of the other car at 40 miles an hour, how is that airbag going to beat my forehead to the steering wheel?
And they're like,
oh, it'll be fully deployed by the time your head gets there. It's like, that's insane.
Yeah.
It's an insane piece of technology.
Wizardry. Like
if you think about an airbag and what it does, it deploys fast enough that your body doesn't make contact with the steering column, whatever, but not so fast that it breaks every rib in your body,
yeah,
like an explosion. Although I know sometimes there's mishaps that can be dangerous. And if you were to ask me, that would add an extra $400,000 to every car. that Toyota Yaris was $17,500, but with the airbags, it's $417,500. Like, the idea that is just standard. And it adds $1,100 to the price of every car, and there's ones that roll down in the curtain now and deploy from the side.
Oh, yeah.
All the side impact stuff. You really just take airbags and you just think technology, a inflatable, like when the guy jumps off a roof, a stuntman, and lands in that airbag,
yeah,
that'll be between your right shoulder and the car, and then your forehead in the dash, and the kids in the back. That's kind of nuts,
yeah,
that they
incredible.
All possess that. All right, so that to me is the most incredible technology. The one that still doesn't exist that drives me insane is I had Matt D'Andrea got the new Rolls-Royce SUV.
Damn.
They let him drive it for a week. But it's a Rolls-Royce SUV, and it kind of, I mean, it makes the Lamborghini look like a RAV4. Like, it is Rolls-Royce SUV. And that guy met me at my new warehouse, and he pulled in and met him there at like 1 o'clock or whatever. And we got, you know, he parked it outside. We went in the warehouse, looked around, blah, 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 La Cañada. It's been hot, sun's up, blah, blah, blah. And by the time we walked back out there, he's like, you got to check this car. We're hotter than balls inside of this thing. Now, it's a $425,000 SUV, but it is the exact same temperature as your Subaru is when it's in my parking lot and it's parked next to it and you open the door. You got to be able to have a second battery, run a second pump that runs an air conditioning pump like that. It doesn't have to be 72 degrees in there. Don't let it get above 90.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's a little wasteful.
Have a vent and a pump and a whatever and run that thing, man. It's a $400,000 car. You climb into that car, it's leather. The back of your thighs are burning on the world's most expensive leather. All right. Let's see. Yeah. Castrol Edge. What was I talking about? Yeah. I want to thank Castrol Edge for that. All right, do you guys, should we take a break before we do that, Maxipata?
We can take a break.
Take a break.
All right.
wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and lose. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
Hey, Corolla fans, Dawson here with some good news and some bad news. Bad news first. We've sold out of Mark Garagus's mistrial for Adam's Monthly Nut. Sorry, you should have moved quicker. The good news is, sales are still open for Adam's Monthly Nut shipment, but this time we're throwing in Adam Carolla's Daddy Stop Talking instead. That's right, the book inspired by Natalia Carolla. All the rest of the items are the same, and you still got the same chance to win that golden ticket for a football Sunday with Adam. Head to Carolla Drinks now and sign up for Adam's Monthly Nut. But hurry, we will sell out.
In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, somebody tweeted me that. The other sad tweet I got was, I guess Garagus took it from his office building.
Yeah.
You know, the goddamn thing about is a guy slumped over shooting up on the street. Another guy.
Oh, two of them.
Shooting up. Look, here's a jump the shark kind of moment as I speak all the time. Citizens are essentially customers, and we pay in taxes as sort of customers in this giant restaurant known as Los Angeles.
The service.
California, yeah. Or any city. That's essentially how it works. You're the customer, and you pay, and you, of course, you don't get what you get like you would get it in a open market system where Chipotle is competing one-on-one with In-N-Out Burger, you know, because they're hustling their ass off. I mean, the UPS drivers, you know, the guys, they get paid, they have a route, they have parcels, they got to get the... It's the only people you see running.
Yeah.
Are the UPS guys, like literally in their job. You don't see gardeners running. You know, these guys jump out of their truck and they're running. Okay. Again, the only hustling you ever see by the city is the parking enforcement guys. The parking enforcement guys, as I now think about it, are now carrying around these handheld computer devices and scanning VIN numbers and boom, so they can go to the DMV. They don't accept credit cards. So where are they on the technological spectrum?
It can be done. They've shown.
I'm going to the other DMV where they do accept credit cards.
Right. There is no... So California has a DMV, has to do with automobiles. They do not accept credit cards. But all of the parking enforcement guys are armed with these little mini computer scanner things, and they can scan, and they also have smart meters now that know when you pull out. So
and also accept credit cards.
Are we on the vanguard of technology, or are we living in the 70s? And the question is, well, where are we making money? And the credit card and the street guy and the parking enforcement and all that, that's fast turnover, lots of cash. DMV is you bring a check, or you can go home, get your checkbook, and come back and hand them the same check.
Or not drive.
40 minutes later.
Those are choices. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't really care. They're getting paid one way or the other. It doesn't have to be fast. Now, the meter maid has to be fast, because the meter maid has to catch the car before you come out of the barber shop or the salon, and the meter maid must get in X amount of cars an hour. DMV can have lines up the wazoo. They don't really care. They don't need to speed you. It's just going to be X amount of people coming through and dropping off traveler's checks or gold bullion or pelts. I don't know if they're taking pelts now, but they don't take credit cards. So the city's relationship with a Mark Garagus, who's downtown, the relationship is Mark has many businesses, pays a shitload in taxes. Living in California, I think there's just you just pay 13% just for the state taxes. Some places have none. Some places are most places are none or lower. We pay, I don't know if we're the highest, but we're amongst the highest at, I think, around 13%. Mm. Then Mark Garagus gets another bullshit, like 1% or 2% city tax or something for what he does. Not to mention the fact that he just employs tons and tons of people at hotels and restaurants. And then there's all the regulation and the workman's comp and all the this and the that and the other. Everything, you know, then he's over there trying to renovate a restaurant. He's getting hit with all the
ADA.
All the Americans with Disabilities and all the permits and all. They're nuts and insane with that. And so the understanding is fine. Mark Garagos or Adam Carolla or whoever's paying in, sort of the customer, we shall do this. And then what you guys have to do in return is not have anarchy on the street.
That's the arrangement.
That's all we ask.
Mm. Yes. I cannot be stepping on syringes as I'm walking into this business I'm paying a ton of money in taxes on. You have to kind of, now you don't have to do much. But you just have to do enough to kind of keep it from turning into Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. Like it just have
you have some of the poop.
Yeah, you have to just kind of keep the junkies from flopping in front of the place of business. Now, it'd be nice if all the streetlights worked and the sides of the freeway looked pristine and everything else. I don't know what it is about L.A. in particular, but when you drive through Utah or you drive through Arizona or you drive through Nevada or you drive through Portland and you see the sides of the freeways, they always look groomed and well done. If it's a place that's a wetter environment, they have a different kind of plant growing there, but it's lush and it's filled in.
Manicured.
Yes. And then when you go into, you know, New Mexico, it's another kind of scape, but it works.
It matches.
Works. Why is L.A. just a pile of super weeds, just super brown, high weeds mixed with what looks like abandoned construction materials? Always just like, there's some rebar we kind of grew out of.
Yeah, they just kind
of dump in some random pieces of like plywood and some building materials and like a traffic cone and interspersed with garbage and everything else. Like, what? Have you guys ever like seen that around here? And it's like, why? What are we doing or not doing? Or what's everyone else doing? How do we do it? You know when you pull on the freeway here, you pull off or whatever, and it's just like you're going to the Burbank Airport. It's super weeds that are like 6 foot high. They're all dead, and there's just trash.
In my area, it's shopping carts. Just shopping carts, just littered about, strewn about, some full of things, some not.
Maybe they think the weeds will hide the garbage, take care of itself.
Maybe that is our local flora.
Yeah. I'm kind of, so I don't know. I know not all the topography is the same, but
it can be done.
Arizona and Seattle seem to have kind of figured it out. Well, why is there none of that? But all right, we just pay. Right. We just keep paying and we just keep getting tickets and regulations and whatever else. But at a certain point, the city dips below the sort of minimum that the big shitty restaurant that overcharges and there's no other options. They dip below the minimum they need to do. And we're now a little below.
We're underwater.
We're little. Mark Garagus is watching people shooting drugs up and
multiple people on the same stretch of block.
Right. As I said, I misworded it slightly, but he sent that tweet out, and I said, if the dude, the junkie who was sitting in the red on the red curb in the street shooting up, if he was in his car, the city would do something about it.
He'd be there less than 2 minutes before he got ticketed.
Right.
He'd be taken away immediately in his car.
Right. Now, I get the fact that you're the city and you're the state and you just want money. But at a certain point, you have to feign some interest.
Well, and that's why there's nobody knows what this means or what they're going to do. But Trump is looking at L.A. and saying, you guys got to figure this out. We are going to send some people to help you figure this out. So that'll be interesting. See what they come up with.
And Garcetti's like, we need to see your tax return first, bitch. Like, okay, how about you fucking clean up the junkies? Jesus Christ. It is fucking bad. It is bad. Oh, good. Jeff Dunham's here. Poor Jeff. Well,
Speaking of things that aren't bad.
I was going to. Jeff's walking into a recreation, unfortunately, that I was probably going to spare you.
I don't care.
You don't care?
What did I miss? I walked into a party not knowing what was going on, and you're angry.
I'm always angry.
That's for the best.
I just saw Ford v. Ferrari, the new movie.
What made you angry about that movie? It looks great.
It's great. There's nothing. I was angry at the city. All right. So as promised, how do we set this up?
Oh, you tell me. It's your brainchild.
You're, yes.
Elliot and Drew.
Yeah, you're Elliot and Dr. Drew. And Elliot Gould and Dr. Drew in drop form. Gina Grad is their 12-and-a-half-year-old adopted daughter who just made the volleyball team of her junior high and has also gotten her first period.
Yeah.
And we're going to figure out if we can give her an eating disorder.
Should we bring her boyfriend home? Can you be her boyfriend? Can we be meeting them for the first time?
We'll see what happens.
You tell me in the drop
department.
There might
be a walk-on.
Yeah, a walk-on. We'll see how we feel. Sorry, Jeff Dunham. We'll get you in.
We're very sorry, Jeff Dunham.
I have no idea what's going on.
Seconds. I know. That's why I was kind of telling Max Pato should have knocked it out, then brought Dunham in. But all right. Here we go. Yeah. No, listen. Don't yell. Had a mini something off the air. All right, go ahead.
This is something.
Dad, I have something great to tell you.
Crazy.
No, you're gonna love this. This is, you know how I've been working and working and working on trying to make the volleyball team?
I think you'll love it.
Yeah, I think you're gonna love it too, Dad. I've been working so hard, and I know you guys have been too busy. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been staying out every night till like 10 p.m. in the backyard working on my serve. And guess what? I made the volleyball team!
Who gives a shit?
Dad, you're so funny. Always making those funny jokes. But Dad, isn't it so great? I mean, I know you guys aren't really supportive of the whole volleyball thing or really much of anything I do in particular, but this I knew would make you so proud.
Sometimes I do. I'll tell you what.
Well, I sure hope this is one of those times, Dad, because my social worker thought that it would be really a good bonding experience for me to tell you some good news and maybe you'd start paying more attention to me.
You want to talk some more?
Actually, I'm glad you said that, Dad. I thought maybe the volleyball news would soften the blow of the other news. I'm not really sure how to say this, and I'm a little uncomfortable and embarrassed, but, I guess since I don't have a mom, I'm getting to it. Just take some courage.
Right.
Yeah. I got my period today, Dad's.
Crazy.
All right, and scene.
Correct.
Oh, correct. Thank you, Jeff. Sorry, Jeff Dunham.
We're very sorry you had to experience
the piece of unfinished business. Jeff Dunham, by the way, beside himself, new Netflix special. It's available this Tuesday, September 24th, and you can just watch it on Netflix, or you can
check it out on Netflix.
Or, yeah, but if you want to know about live dates, I guess you can go to jeffdunham.com. Jeff is such an amazing performer and sells so many tickets. It's absolutely unbelievable. I think I came on the first time I was aware of you being such a big comedic player in this space is when my first book in 50 Years Where I'll Be Chicks, I think, came out like 10 years ago.
Yep.
And I would like check like the Amazon, like who's on top of the spoken word charts. It was like, who the fuck is this Jeff Dunham? And why is his the top 8 albums on this? And why am I number 9? And
That's really funny.
I was like, this guy Jeff Dunham's just dominating. And then later we became friends and he's a car guy and everything.
Has it been 10 years? Really? 10 years since that book and my book? Oh my gosh, that's nuts. Book, is that right?
Well, I
Eight
mean,
years?
If
Eight
if
years.
It's not 10, it's a little weird because you write it 10 years ago, but it's a of a year in the making.
Did you have a ghostwriter? Be honest.
No, I do. Well, let's figure out what you'd call Mike Lynch.
Has a guest.
as a Guinness record for most tickets sold for stand-up tour. So
so there you go.
Almost 2 million tickets.
Can I ask you something before we go on with this? Okay, so we went to the Peterson, what was that, a month or two ago to celebrate 10 years of CarCast, right?
Right.
That was awesome.
I agree.
A car show is fantastic. And Adam, you showed up too.
Yes.
But you had a designated driver. Your wife drove you to your own CarCast anniversary thing. To me, that was just not right.
Oh, well,
just by some drinking.
Yeah, you had a designated driver to your own event. That's not right.
I'm trying to think of what the hell, how the hell that worked. But I did. Well, I was there from like noon to 10:30 at night or something. We had the car show during the day that Jeff was a part of and Lena was a part of, and that was great. Then we showed Uppity, the Willie T doc, in the middle, and then at the end was the podcast that Kimmel came out to and so on and so forth. So I knew I was going to be there for a million years, and I probably knew I was going to have a few cocktails before the night was over, and that was what led to that. Tell us, brag a little about some of the crazy cars you have.
Oh, I don't know. This is a disease that started about 10 years ago, and I can't stop it. It's ridiculous.
It is, right?
It is. It's nuts. How many do you have now?
I don't know. And I don't know.
It's a good sign.
Well, look, if a blues singer doesn't know how many kids he has, I can forget how many cars I have.
It's prolific.
You end up selling some to buy some, and then there's some going out and some coming in and some in a million different pieces.
But see, Leno says he never sells anything.
No, he doesn't.
I don't understand that. It's like he just keeps buying warehouses or buying buildings and adding on.
Yes.
That's a good thing to do, I guess, if you have the money.
You literally cannot see to the end of his warehouse anymore. Like, you open the door, and it looks like one of those paintings in a sci-fi movie where they have this sort of endless hall. But you now must get into a golf cart.
To
indoors,
get to the other end.
Get to the other end.
But they're not all in a row either. It's kind of this menagerie where you're walking around, you're like, did I turn here?
Right.
And yeah, it's really impressive. And they do a great job. And I don't know how many guys work for him. There's always somebody different. It's like, there's that guy making something over there. And then the shop is incredible.
Oh, the fabricating that goes on.
Yeah. But he's big into steam engines, which I don't understand until he talks about it. And then it's pretty impressive.
You show up there, Leno's underneath a steam car trying to light it with a propane burner. Like, that's how he is. He's underneath the car with a propane burner, like trying to fire it up. And then
walks the walk, man.
Yeah. Then there's the super talkative Bernard, where you go over there and you go, hey, Bernard, you going out to Laguna Seca this year? And he goes, yep. And I go, I'll be there with the 935 Porsche. And he goes, okay. Okay. Good talk, Bernard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, that was nice of the Peterson to do that. I have my Batmobile over there. One of my Batmobiles, the 66 Batmobile, is over there. So you asked about the cars. So that's in there.
Damn, look at that.
We're looking at it here.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. No, that's not the 66.
That's the 89 version.
Yeah, that's the 89 one, actually 91 from Batman Returns, even though they were the exact same car. But yeah. So, and that one's street legal and fun. And there we are a few months ago or a couple years ago.
The Infiniti. Sorry, you had an aqua car that you did a cool race with on Jay Leno's garage.
Yeah, the Amphicar car.
Is that yours?
We did two different races. One was for the 63 Amphicar car, which they made for a handful of years. I'd have to look it up. And that's just, there's all kinds of charm in that thing because it's a horrible car and a terrible boat.
Right.
But as they used to say when they would sell it, it's the fastest boat on land and the fastest car on water.
Right. It's basically what an automobile boat. They made a production.
I've seen
Amphicar.
James Bond.
It's to that what the bed sofa is to the futon. Like, would you like the least? It's the most uncomfortable sofa and the worst bed together. Like, it's like, I'm not sure what the allure of that. How about we just get a boat, an A car, an A mattress, and a sofa?
Well,
it's a better life.
The beauty about this thing is when you see it, it just looks like something out of a Pixar movie, like a regular cute little cartoon car, until you look slightly underneath and there's two propellers in the back.
Right. It's crazy. And they made them, and they made them in earnest. Like, they're like, we're gonna sell some of these
the
things.
Of the
we're gonna move a ton of units in Minnesota.
They didn't move.
And
what company?
Was it a major manufacturer? No,
it wasn't a major manufacturer. I do not believe it. Probably had a power plant from GM or Opel.
It was all Matt would have to come in here. It's German and English, so I think it's a Rolls Royce. I have to look it up.
But the motor was probably a name you'd recognize.
Yeah, it's an English.
Like an MG. Like
Triumph, four-cylinder.
Triumph, right. But the car was made by I don't, who knows what.
But they had dealerships in the U.S., and they thought they were going to sell a ton, and they did not.
Right. And then you guys drove around a fast, cool, modern version of this.
Now, I forget the name of that thing, but that thing
was killer.
But you know, it was killer, but it was kind of like giving yourself a really great race car, some kind of sports car, and putting you in the parking lot at Walmart. How long can you have fun?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You're not going anywhere. You're not doing anything. So we had this really fast amphibious vehicle on the water, and it's like, all right, we're going fast from here to here.
Right.
And then we're going from here to here, and that was it. You have to have a river.
Did you guys? Oh, yeah. You got to do one of those things like in New Zealand where they have those jet boats.
So you can go somewhere.
Get back to net. What? How many is this for you and Netflix?
This is only the second one because I did seven or eight with Comedy Central, one with NBC, and now this one.
Is the new world order that you make the doc and then try to figure out who wants it the most or the highest bidder is, or do you do it beforehand with the company?
Yeah, this is my second one because I was contracted with doing two after the first one. And, of course, after we contracted the first one, that's when Netflix came along and made all those giant deals with all those other comedians and these huge numbers. And I'm like sitting there going, I made a shitty deal.
It is crazy, but look, obviously you have multiple Batmobiles, so you're doing okay.
You know, try those tears.
I think I've told you this. When I was in the, I got divorced a number of years ago, happily married now, but divorced a number of years ago, and I used to say during the divorce and the worst proceedings and all the money that was spent on lawyers and stuff, I would turn to my lawyer or whatever and go, well, at least I have the Batmobile.
Yeah. I talked to a rich guy once, got divorced. And he said, Jesus Christ, my monthly payments are like $72,000, like my ex-wife. And I just went, well, you know, you've arrived.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, think about how we grew up. Imagine your dad or my dad or probably just, you must cut a check for $72,000 every month to this shrew that lives across the street now. Like, they would have been like, what? Yeah. That's a lifetime's worth of work.
Yeah,
like
tattoo a unicorn over there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I'm paying monthly what most people will never make in a year.
It's insane.
It's nuts. It's so stupid.
But
it's crazy.
You've arrived.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and also, Audrey and I have now been married for 6 years. We have twin boys that are almost four. And I did penance for whatever years to come to that. So I'm very happy with that. So who cares?
Oh, and I know you, we talked about before you flying helicopters.
I haven't in a long time. I built my own and flew them. I built three different ones and I flew them for 20 years and I was never killed and it was great. But then it's a good run. But then I get kids and a family, and it's like you run out of time for hobbies.
You know who's a professional?
Yeah, you run out of time for hobbies.
You know who's a professional helicopter pilot who was an actor we'll recognize?
Harrison Ford?
No, he's Lorenzo Lamas.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Lorenzo Lamas. Renegade.
Yeah.
Like super hunky Lorenzo Lamas.
Wasn't he on Hot or Not or some sort of show
maybe? Yeah, he's basically known for being a hunk, but he's a super nice dude, and he's now just a full-time helicopter pilot.
Wait, isn't his mother? His mother was Esther Williams. Is that right?
I don't know. That makes sense. I've got to figure that.
Somebody should look that up.
That one out. But
there's my 6 degrees of separation.
Definitely got the good genes.
So I knew Esther Williams. Is all I'm saying.
How do you know? Where did you start out? Where did you grow up?
Dallas. Grew up in Dallas. Yeah, and I was reading about you today. So you've been here forever.
Like, yeah.
That's it. That's great. I was reading some very interesting stuff. You know what's funny is on the Wikipedia, before I got here, I always want to bone up on whoever I'm talking to. And I know a lot about Adam, but I learned something today. It's so funny. On your Wikipedia has all these interesting stats and facts and didn't graduate from high school until you paid your library fine and all that stuff. That, to me, how long? But that you did that on The Man Show, or when did you end up paying it off?
No, Esther Williams, stepson of Esther Williams.
Got it.
I barely graduated North Hollywood High. I failed driver's ed and I failed biology, and I was a horrible, horrible student. I never even took algebra in high school. Most people have taken algebra in the seventh grade. Never an algebra class. I took high school math. I was horrible, but I got a D in Spanish, and they said, you may graduate. And I graduated, and they handed out diplomas to everybody, and I didn't get my diploma. And I said, where is my diploma? And they said, you don't get your diploma. You pay the book room $19.95 for We the People. And when you pay them, then we give you a diploma. And my self-esteem is low, and my family's a piece of shit. And I was like, or I can just leave? And they're just like, yeah, not with a diploma. And I was like, $19.95 is a... That's a chunk of change for young, unemployed Adam Broke. Carolla. And by the way, what am I doing with this diploma again? I'm gonna clean garbage on a construction site. Like I'm digging ditches or pushing a wand cleaning carpet. So I was like, oh, okay, well, keep your diploma. I'm leaving.
And that was
I just laughed. Then years later, when I was doing the Adam Carolla Project, the TV show where I rehabbed my dad's house next door to the school, we thought it'd be a funny bit if I went in there with the 1995 years later and got my diploma, and I
and
did.
You did.
Yeah.
All right. We have similar stories. So I was in elementary school, and I checked out a book on how to do ventriloquism. It was called Fun with Ventriloquism. Mm-hmm. And I guess I was a thief because I liked it, and I learned from it, and I learned my craft, and I never returned it ever, ever, ever. And my mother didn't know I had it, and I had it. It's Dallas Public Library. Remember the little sleeve where you put the card in
sure.
it, in the book, and they would stamp when you checked it out, and I have the date I checked it out. Never returned it. And until the world turned, and I was playing the American Airlines Center in Dallas, which is also where we shot my Netflix special, which comes on the 24th. Thank you very much. So I decided to take that library book, and this was a couple of 3 years ago. We got a representative from the Dallas Public Library to come out, and I had the person come on stage, and I presented them with the we figured out what the fine would have been.
With inflation?
With inflation, yeah. And it was crazy. It ended up being like next to nothing. It was only a few hundred bucks, so I gave him a check for 10 grand.
Wow.
yeah, for the public library.
Adam's going to do that on his next special, too.
I gave him $19.95.
Anyway, so, and also, the whole point I was making is that on your big Wikipedia thing, all these amazing facts, and there's one sentence that says, Adam is left-handed.
Yeah, I had...
He doesn't write that.
I had to kind of caution somebody the other day when I was like writing, filling something out. They went, oh, a lefty. My brothers, I just want to go shut up. Like, we have nothing in common. Right. And by the way, I'm not saying I'm better.
Connection.
I'm not saying I'm better than your brother. We just have a left.
We're not kindred spirits.
Yeah. Find out if like Stalin or Mussolini or Hitler was left handed, and then I'll just be able to throw that back at everyone.
Infamous left-handers.
Like your brother.
I have a question for you. Mm. Okay, so sitting around, this to me is amazing how things have changed. I know you talk about this general subject all the time, but when you first did your rant on that went viral, the rant on how the man's driving down the street in the fancy car, and years ago we'd say, look at that man, he worked hard, he had a job, and now he has the fancy car, and nowadays it's like, look at that a-hole,
right?
With the car. So I don't know how many years ago you did that rant, but I want to know, what is your theory on why things – when did it change? When did just the kindness of people what caused all that? I have my own theory where it's just not this nice place that we grew up in anymore. It's
– Yeah.
And it's never going back. Mm. It's as ugly as it gets. And every generation says that. It's so horrible now. But I don't know how – what happened to people being kind to each other? The last time we were kind to each other was the day after 9/11.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that lasted for a few weeks, a couple months.
Yeah.
Everybody put flags on their cars. Everybody was proud. Everybody was happy. And then suddenly happened. Everybody got – my theory is everybody got devices. Everybody got a platform. Everybody – it turned into the me. And everybody thinks they're really important. And everybody has a voice. And they think they're listening. And they think they can say anything they want to behind a keyboard and get away with it. Because you would never say those things to that person to their face.
Well, I think there's kind of two sides to this. There's a sort of just technological, mechanical side, which is it's always been easy for people to flip people the bird in their car going off the off ramp and the person was driving slow in front of them. So there's a kind of a wiring where it's like, I'm not going to be standing on the same patio as that guy 15 minutes. Like, we're not going to the same party. So obviously, if you know that guy's going to the same party or supermarket or what have you that you're going to, or work destination or whatever, you tend not to flip them off, right? But when you have that, like, hey, he's going that way and I'm going that way, screw you, buddy.
I learned that lesson the hard way because the light right by my daughter's preschool, there's always some car that's kind of a little too tentative. And a couple of times, like, honk, honk, let's go, buddy, let's go, but moving right into the daycare.
Right
into the daycare, my friend. Yeah. Oh, damn it.
Bin Laden, left-handed. Okay, good to know. For the next time someone compliments me and says, you know, my brother, me and Bin Laden.
The three of us.
That's the three of us. Okay, so there's a kind of tweet it out, screw you, wouldn't do it if you're in the room, which is kind of a version of the highway, what the highway used to be. Screw you, buddy. Never going to see you again. You wouldn't do it if you were in the same car together, going to the same place together, whatever. There's that. But there's a bigger overarching problem, which is people, which I never knew about, but I'm now realizing. We have a very strong sort of victim sympathy gene that we've successfully tamped down for. That's what society's been doing. They just tamp it down. They just tamp. We do it. Your parents do it. Society does it, you know. So, you know, the coach, Dr. Drew, does it. What I'm saying is you get two kids in a room. One kid tells a story about, I fell off my skateboard last summer and I broke my forearm and I had to give a cast. Every other kid in that room will come in with a story about them falling off something, falling out of a treehouse. They'll tell their story. It was in Jaws, basically, when they're comically
showing scars.
But yeah, that's our wiring. Our wiring is, you think you got it bad? You think you're a victim? So we'll just jump in. As adults, you kind of try to tamp it down, and you also kind of realize, like, if you came from a poor family, that's your business, but you don't have a poor off. Everyone's having poor offs. Now, we were poor. We were low. You know, everyone's doing this thing. Like, and it's funny when they catch themselves doing it. Like, I was
you do
like,
that with Tales of the Cheap. Mike Wings would come in here with a great story. Like, well, yeah, my parents ignored me.
I do that.
He just wants to make sure he's got us all beat.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that's my wiring. That's my wiring
I
as
know,
well.
I know.
So, and mine was ignored. That's worse. Anyway, see what I'm doing? So it's like,
one downer.
When Joe Biden was on Jay Leno's Garage, he was showing him his 63 convertible Corvette, and he's like, well, you know, my dad ran the sales fleet for the largest Chevy dealer in the tri-state area, and so when me and Connie got married, I'm 24 years old, I went to the dealer, and the whole dealership was outside, and they said, this is your wedding gift, son, and like, I got a fucking crock pot for my dad. But then... then he paused. Like, he paused and he went like, we weren't rich, you know. We're hardworking folk. Yeah. It's like a hardworking folk that give people Corvettes when they get married. You know what I mean? Like, but he caught himself, like, real quick. Like, oh, shit. Mm. I can't have people think I was born on third base.
No.
So there's a movement. There's an aggrieved kind of a movement. There's a victim kind of mentality. And everyone else... before this day, the idea was to tamp it down. Like, it's like the whole deal was level playing field. This is America. Hard work wins. Blah, blah, blah. Now, everyone's a goddamn victim. But how can we have an entire colony of victims with no oppressor?
Oh.
Because do the math on being a victim. Like, somebody's got to be oppressed. Someone's got to be oppressing me. How can I? Yes, can't work that everyone's just oppressed. So now we start figuring out who's oppressing us because we're doing a kind of a victim math, which is a narcissism. This I'm a victim. It's narcissistic. And then we go into the hero part where we start calling out the oppressors, and the oppressors are basically anyone who's got more shit than me, which is, you've got two Batmobiles, I only got one, I'm a victim, you're oppressing me. And the politicians and the zeitgeist and the news agencies have found out that's good stuff. They love that
stuff.
People
tune in for that.
They'll tune in for that. Yeah, when that Nick Sandman kid was on the steps of the Washington Monument, and there was an American Indian guy. They were like, oh my God, this guy's, he's wearing a MAGA hat, and that guy's an American Indian. He's being oppressed, and he's blocking. That's white privilege. Oh, that little white kid, they just went, berserk right. on it. They had all the information. They ran right past it and right to the story, you know, right to the story. When the kid jumps off the bridge and kills himself, it's right to his roommate who was, you know, he was anti-LGBT, and he caused him to kill himself by filming him and blah, 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 blah. Like, we're looking for the victim, and as soon as we find the victim, 10 seconds later, we need the oppressor because our victim story doesn't really fly. So, the little kid in the MAGA hat, he and the American Indian is the victim, but he can't be a victim in the middle of the desert. He needs the guy standing in front of him. And then we build the story. He's an elder. He's a veteran. He's blocking his way. Look at that look on his face. Blah, 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 blah. The Indian guy's a fucking crackpot. And the kid's wearing a MAGA hat. That's his crime. But we spin it into everything. That's what we're doing. Now, you should have something called dignity, involved with that.
That's my whole point. Is I got to the point, I guess, a couple of months ago that I would, you know, I was trying to keep up with the news and what's going on, and I finally just had it, and I turned off the tweets from everybody except my, you know, my wife and a couple of people, and it's like I can't. I know so many people now that don't want to watch the news anymore. They don't want to turn on anything. It's just, you know, that's why the Hallmark Channel is kicking ass right now.
I've said it a million times, but it's like dogs on an airplane. They didn't exist, and now they're ubiquitous because we made a mistake. We relied on people's personal dignity. We're like, look, you're not going to get a fake note from your doctor. If you really need the dog, you may travel with your dog, but no fake notes. And everyone, fuck that. I'm getting a fake note. Mm-hmm. And we sort of trusted people with social media. Like, you guys will be able to communicate during, you know, from your phone, doing this device. You can use all – you may critique someone's performance or someone's aesthetic or someone's whatever, but have dignity. Have
above
dignity.
The belt.
And remember, we all have kids and parents and whatever. Would you want somebody saying this about your daughter
you
or your
son? You could tweet to them and tell them how much you hate them and how hate their latest movie, I suppose.
Right.
Why would you?
But see, those are
right, right. So we relied on something that we don't have anymore, which was quiet dignity. It would have been beneath you to go online and talk about what an idiot this person, or call someone a Nazi or say there something was wrong, you know, oh, she's such a pig or whatever. Like, you, that would be beneath your character.
Yeah, that would bring shame to yourself, not just the person
shame
you're trying to
shame.
This is what I'm talking about. The reason I think about this so much now is I have 4-year-old twin boys, and I'm realizing that I'm teaching them all the basics that you learned in kindergarten, which are all the basics that we're supposed to behave like as human beings, and everybody's lost sight of that. I keep saying to my sons, okay, you just punched your brother in the face, right? Would you want someone punching you in the face?
Right.
No. And how in the hell are you going to raise children to behave that way with the way society's going now? I don't know.
Well, we're the problem and why society, and especially Los Angeles and California, are crumbling is something that I've really been focusing on is this notion of our governor, Gavin Newsom, just went, look, if too many people, especially black kids or Hispanic kids, statistically are getting suspended from school, then we need to just change the rules on suspending kids from school, which is now game on because we're essentially just going, these kids need discipline. They need a parental figure. They need an authority figure. And we've just decided we didn't like the numbers. So it's like basically you saying, I got a 13-year-old daughter. It's basically, I've said, look, Natalia, your curfew is 10 o'clock, and she's coming home at 3 a.m.
Right.
And I, as a parent, want to stop this behavior. So Gavin Newsom, who's my retarded neighbor, he goes, you know what you need to do? And I go, what? Do not discipline her. That's mean. Change the clocks.
Change the curfew.
So when she, no, just move the clock over.
She'll never be
so
back past curfew.
When she goes out at 7 o'clock at night, take all the clocks and just set them back 5 hours. Then when she shows up at 3, the clocks will say 10.
Yeah.
And she'll make her curfew.
Problem
solved. And I would say, well, technically, technically retarded neighbor, Gavin Newsom, technically that would work. Like, she would, according to my clock, make her curfew, but it still wouldn't stop her from being out and drinking with teenage boys till the wee hours of the night. Yeah, yeah. But you say you have a problem with her and her curfew? Right. What's the problem? She comes in after 10 o'clock. Change of clocks. Mm. And that's essentially what he's doing with a lot of prison shit, yeah. A lot of drug shit, a lot of homeless shit, a lot of, and you tell me how it works. How does it work?
How do you have a guy like that making decisions like that, thinking that that's okay?
I think he thinks, I am going to make these decisions. I shall be popular in my group making these decisions, and I'll be gone when the whole shit show goes down, when these 12-year-olds that are taking swings at teachers, by the time they're 17, I'll be fucking long gone. Like, who gives a shit? What was his decision, or what was that legislation?
So it was a bill. Beginning next July, teachers in California will no longer be allowed to suspend elementary and middle school students from school for disrupting classroom activities or defying authorities.
But guess what the good news is? Suspensions are going to go to zero.
Right.
Which means we did it.
Right. Oh, right. We can fix tardiness, too, by just simply moving the clock again when the Perfect. Person shows up an hour late. Yeah. Yeah. And how is that going to serve the kid who's being defiant? How's that going to serve the 11-year-old who's telling the teacher to kiss his balls? How's that going to serve that kid, Gavin Newsom? It will cut down on suspensions. Whoa, you are right about that.
So, Adam, when you were a kid here, was there corporal punishment? Could you be whacked in school?
No, there was a little. That's my dad. There was a little bit of that going on, but
boy, in Texas,
Spears
we
took
did
care of that for him,
Mr. Levine. He had the paddle closet, and oh yeah, you had to go in and you'd pick your paddle.
You look.
And he had like eight or ten of them hanging in there, and you got to pick either the flat one or the one with the holes in it, or
never the one with the holes in it.
Oh no, that's stupid.
You would never mouth off to a teacher, and if you did, you got suspended. I got suspended. I had when I got suspended, I had a lunch pass because I lived across the street from the school,
right?
And you could get like a go home, pass,
off campus pass,
right? And I had my go home lunch pass. And I was like walking out the front door, and there was this security guy who was just sitting on the stool, you know, checking passes.
Right.
And he's like, need to see a pass. And I'm like, I don't have my pass on me, but I have a pass. Like, I'm registered, like, in the office. I can go home for lunch. And he's like, not without a pass. And I said, I do have it. I just don't have it on my person, but we can look it up. And I said, I'm just going to leave and go home and eat. And he's like, if you leave, you're suspended. And I was like, okay, because I'm a horrible student anyway. So I just went home and I ate, and then I came back to school like 28 minutes later, and he's like, you know you're suspended. And I'm like, yeah, I do, because that was our agreement, even though I had a pass, and he just suspended me. But I was like, that was our agreement. I wanted some Dinty Moore stew made in my microwave.
Well, like, in eighth grade, I hit a coach with a piece of ice trying to hit a girl, and I got whacked. I'd taken to the office and got paddled for that. Coach did it. Yeah, it's fun.
The breakdown of the hierarchy and the defiance of the non-recognizing of authority figures. That's the beginning of the society coming undone. That's where it's all coming undone.
Do kids nowadays fear anybody in their school? They don't. Because I don't know. My girls are grown. They're all women.
No.
Graduate from college. I don't know.
We've got kids throwing buckets of water on cops. I mean, there's like a six-year-old who can barely hold the bucket that like comes up. Like, literally some adult told the six-year-old, get the bucket and chuck it at the cop. Okay. That kid's going to get shot in a few years by another cop, but all right.
Just kicking the can down the road.
And all the politicians are doing is blaming the teachers and the cops. It's insane.
Who they're in the past very supportive of.
They're all in unions who support them. It's the breakdown of the family. It's the dads being gone. It's no discipline. It's what I've been saying since I've been doing Loveline. It's a shit show. I don't know why no one's interested in that side of the equation of the problem, but no, I've never spoke to a politician who is.
Well, see, I sit there and go, all right, so honey, what do we do? I mean, all these problems, do we move somewhere? No, it's the same everywhere. I, I've got daughters all over the country, and it's the same everywhere. I have one daughter in Montana, one daughter in Chicago, and it's, you know, so.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I didn't know that.
You're a touring comedian now.
They all three of them grew up here. Oh. Yeah, one of them's going to be a doctor of psychology. I'm going to have a Dr. Dunham in the family.
Wow. One Dr. Dunham. Is it, I don't know.
Here's the point. They grew up here, but they turned out great. I don't
know. Well,
I had a small hand in that, so yay.
You can, look, a chicken in every pot and a Batmobile in every garage. If you're living a decent neighborhood.
I did pick up one of them at school once in the Batmobile.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She was mortified.
She wasn't the hero of her school after that?
Yeah, she was, but she hated it. Yeah, she won't let me drive. She lives here now. She won't let me drive anything. Anything that's not black, white, gray, or silver, she doesn't want me picking her up in it.
The if you live in a neighborhood where, like, the families are intact and the dads hang out and raise the kids and everyone's mm-hmm. fine, then the kids are fine, super respectful, well-mannered, fine. If not, it's fucking,
you know, it does boil down to that,
show.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, that's all it is.
With a handful of exceptions. Yep, I get it.
Yep.
By the way, my Netflix special comes out next on the 24th. What is that, Tuesday?
Beside
and you should
himself.
Watch that with your whole family.
No.
Oh, okay. Damn, I was trying to help. Intact family.
Beside himself, yeah.
Let me hit Geico. That is this Tuesday, as you hear this. And then we'll break and do some news. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money. Put it in your pocket. Be the most rewarding thing you do all day. That is Geico. Geico.com. All right, we'll take a quick break. Jeff Dunham's going to hang, and we'll do the news right after this.